beam me up Elgato 80 capture card. Beam me up, Focusrite. Scarlett 18i20 interface. Everybody out there who knows their fucking audio gear is gonna be like, why does John have a Scarlett 18i20 to record a podcast with one microphone?
Well, you think that, but there's other things you might use that for.
That's true. I used to be something that's called a drummer, and it turns out you need a lot of microphones to record a drum set.
Yeah, I think that beats the setup Bryn has had in the past. We're in her like basement studio. You have like a Scarlett 18 or a Scarlett 8 or something?
I'm an 18i8.
Yeah, so she has one of those, but then that is also connected to a big like mixer, and so she has like one thing going out of that mixer into the Scarlett, and then she has a microphone going into the mixer. And so she used to like go just record her end of Generation Loss on that entire huge setup of one
mic.
Yeah,
that's true. I did do that. That was silly. I mean, it makes sense
because
it was just like I didn't want to take it all apart just to put it back together again.
You didn't want to bring the Scarlett 2i2 downstairs. What are you, an animal?
Yeah, I originally bought this interface because way back in the day when my co-host from my other show, Lena, and I were roommates, we were trying to like record bands and have house shows where we recorded the house show while the bands played. And then we just like mix it down real quick and send it to them or whatever. But in doing so, we ended up each buying an 8 input interface that could like, they could hook up to each other so that you could have 16 inputs total. Yeah. And then when I moved out, I was just like, all right, we gotta split this gigantic interface in half. And I don't even think I ended up taking the one that I technically bought, but it literally doesn't matter because they both do the exact same thing.
Yeah, this is a little behind the scenes for that ass. Yeah, this is how podcasting works.
This is how the sausages are made. You put in the pig guts, you grind them up, you send the pig guts into a microphone.
You spend the first 30 years of your life trying desperately to record anything that sounds interesting, make weird sounds and inspire people, and then you use those hundreds of dollars worth of equipment to just say poop, poop, pee, pee into a microphone and people give you money.
you bought all of this shit so that you could like release experimental like electronic albums and record bands and like make noise collage tapes and shit. And yeah, at the end of it, you're just like, I think McAfee got Epstein'd. Everyone's like, this is the content we actually want to pay for.
We're
making the most experimental noise albums of all time, where it's just four people talking for an hour and there's not really a discernible rhythm or pattern to it at all.
No.
Other than the patterns of human speech. You know, no one really thought of doing that before.
Trent Reznor cannot touch this. He has no hope. Ghosts, volumes, whatever. Go fuck yourself.
Trent Reznor failed to consider mids only.
Yeah. He tries to get on the show all the time. He's knocking at our door and he's like, just let me on the pod. I want to talk about weed with you guys. And we're like, no, Trent, just go do Grammy winning soundtracks or Oscar or whatever do.
Why don't you go lift some weights, you thick motherfucker?
You goth swole boy.
I mean, that's the funny thing though. Like, there's other people who have other like interests and stuff, right? If you're like a gamer or you do woodworking or you make like you build Lego contraptions to race marbles on, like you can start a YouTube channel where you're like, welcome to my studio where I build Lego tracks to race marbles on. Come on in.
That's
and
cool.
Check out my multiple boxes of sorted shit. If you're a podcaster, you're like, welcome to my barely furnished apartment. This is my one microphone, stand, one interface, and one computer. You want to see what I can make today? Like,
here's what I make today. So today,
it would be really funny to make it like to like do like really fast cut with like super intense music, but it's just like clips of you talking into a microphone and then like the camera swings around and then it's a clip of you editing audio clips in Ableton.
This is my take planer. I use this to plane down my takes.
Just like saying a really outlandish take into the mic and then you're like, oh no, that was too much.
Ooh,
like,
that's sharp.
John McAfee was the revolutionary subject. Oh no, that's no good. Let me shave that down a little bit.
Just making your podcast completely unlistenable by banging a hammer on the desk as you give out a play.
Sorry, guys, there's construction on my desk.
There was just a lot of work to get done today, and I had to multitask. I mean, welcome back to the number one carpentry podcast in all of the United States. Today, we're going to talk about Japanese wood joining.
Now, I'm sorry that I can't show you with a video the kind of joint I'm talking about. We'll make this a lot easier. This is why no one else has made a carpentry podcast before, because it's a very visual thing. But okay, just imagine it's like a... It's like a 45, or is it 90 degree angle? It's like one of those angles, and then there's like a thingy that goes in.
No idea how to describe it.
Yeah.
Carpentry podcast listeners, just like Queen's Gambit lying on the bed visualizing shit on the ceiling. Like, I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, if you subscribe to my Patreon, you might be able to get a camera up in here so I can show you what I'm looking at.
$30 a month and I'll upload PDF diagrams to my Patreon.
Now, they will be diagrams I drew in MS Paint because I can't afford anything better yet, but I'll do my best to make them look pretty good.
To be fair, this is how I feel listening to a bunch of philosophy podcasts. Like, not all of them, but some of them, it's just like, am I supposed to have the book? Am I also supposed to have the reference book that you're pulling information from? Or are you going to talk in a way where I can learn this, like, from your voice?
Am I supposed to have read this book? Because it sounds like I'm supposed to have read this book.
Yeah. I love listening to a podcast and they're like, okay, turning to chapter 12. And then my, like, just being in high school brain kicks in and I'm like, I want a coffee and a cigarette. Like,
yeah. They're like, I need to sleep on a desk right now.
Yeah. I need to draw a cool S with a knife into the desk.
And then sleep on it and drool on it. So hello everybody, welcome to Beep Beep Lettuce. This is the show about weed and communism and also sometimes memes at this point.
Oh yeah, we're talking about memes.
Yeah. This is the premier Stussy-esque discourse podcast. Nothing but Stussy-esque coverage.
Yeah, I feel like the memes part of that little slogan is like subtextual. Like, we have read the memes and it affects how we behave. Right. But we don't really talk about memes. It's just like...
We are standing on the shoulders of memes, right, to do our show.
But we don't actually talk about them generally. We should actually talk about...
Sometimes.
You know, I've been a big fan of this Peepo guy.
Peepo is very cute. I love Peepo.
Yeah.
Who's and Peepo? He's really Is that the mushroom Wojak?
No.
He's funny, dude. Peepo is this really cute little Pepe, and there's usually drawings. There's like one of him under a blanket or him like waving his arms.
He kind of looks like a little child.
Yeah, he's wearing a helmet and riding a scooter. He's got big like Disney Pixar eyes. Yeah, he's cutie.
He's a big cutie, and he sort of... I don't know. Like, it's funny because I think that he basically exists because Pepe got so politicized. And I think Peepo is just like, I just want a cute frog.
Yeah. He's like taking Pepe back to his roots.
We should take Pepe back to the level of like 90s observational comedian.
That's
humor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think they've really succeeded. I mean, like, I see this little guy and I just think macaroni with the chicken strips.
Yeah. I'm trying to eat tendies.
What's happening in that one? Is he in a bathroom or like a shower?
I think it's some sort of church.
Oh, I don't know what's going on there.
Well, anyway,
the normal ones.
This
are
is why
cute.
We don't talk about memes because you can't see them. But Google
this is a really wholesome meme. I had to scroll 4 pages in the Google search results before I got to one where he's wearing a MAGA hat and holding a waifu pillow, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. You would have thought that's page 2 stuff for most memes. So.
Right? Yeah, especially like a variant of Pepe, because you have some like who was like the extra racist Pepe. The Groiper. Yeah. Like Groiper, it's like all MAGA shit. But I guess this is the opposite direction where it's like too cute.
I think what happened was it started on Twitch and they were just like wanted to have a Pepe that was like
cool and nice.
Sort of like Spurto, where it just like is so stupid it just becomes like non-political.
Right.
And then it was so non-political that it spread everywhere because people thought it was really cute.
I have interminable Zizek brain, so to me what that means is that
how can this be Lacanian and Hegelian?
this is Pipo is actually the premier site of ideology at this time. being portrayed as something that's totally lacking in ideology. I can't help but get the inclination that there is actually the most disturbing cultural logic of capitalism is being accrued somehow in this little cute frog.
Well, that's true because it's a specifically American inclination to represent yourself as an avatar of something untouched by the forces of oppression of capital. He is just a nostalgic object.
Yeah, he's just a kid waiting for his tendies, which is just like, in a way, that's it. It's kind of like people our age getting kind of reactionary nostalgia for the 90s. Let's be real.
No, it's 100%,
as someone who already has an immense amount of reactionary nostalgia for the 90s, I'm sickened to my core by this obscene meme.
they're trying to descend the anal staircase. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, this is, you said it started on Twitch. This is the same site where like the classic emote PogChamp of a guy opening his mouth in a duck lips had to be removed from the site because that man supported the Capitol riots on January 6th. So then PogChamp was too political.
Yeah, Pipo cannot be politicized.
Right, because Pipo himself is not going to have a bad take. Maybe that's why people like him, too. They know he's not going to disappoint you.
He can't say anything.
Yeah, yeah.
He just cries. Yeah, so we love him. But anyway, what's going on in the news this week? Let's see.
We're starting off with very serious news this week.
Well, hilariously serious news because The Intercept of all people and Nathan Bernard, who I don't know him very well, but I think he's fun on Twitter. He wrote about a case that is being pointedly challenged by a woman who owns something called a MILF mobile. So the article says a nation conceived in liberty confronts its queasiness with the MILF mobile. A new law,
which I have to assume following the same logic as the Oscar Mayer Wiener mobile, must be a gigantic motorized MILF, right?
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, it should be a woman, like each one hand. Her two hands are the wheels. Her two feet are the wheels. She's kind of like crouching, and then you climb inside of her body to drive. That's what it should look like.
That's got to be extremely appealing to exactly like three random people on the internet, right? Like that's got to be their exact thing.
I mean, try like 3 million. Remember when that Resident Evil game came out and there was just like a zombie woman who was really tall and had big boobs and everyone was like, wow, I want her to kill me with her giant boobs. I think many people would be like, I want to die inside the MILF mobile.
you gotta love, like, harkening back to the 90s again, like all of the like moral panic around video games. They're like, Grand Theft Auto is gonna make kids want to run out into the street with guns, and it's like the actual cultural logic of video games was like, what about big titty vampire lady?
My favorite thing about God, I wish I could remember who said it. It's somebody on Twitter was saying that the Resident Evil lady looked like a Renaissance fair girl who like smelled like cat piss and feet. You know what I mean? Like her face is very specific. And like, I couldn't believe that I hadn't seen it before, but she absolutely does look like that. She looks like a lady who just really wants to go jousting.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
or axe throwing. Anyway, this lady is not that lady. She is just a lady with a car. And she has a license plate that says tits out. And she says the plate references the fact that I exclusively breastfed all four of my children and that I frequently drive topless, and Maine is in fact a topless state. So this is in Maine.
Mm-hmm. It's a woman in Maine. She likes to drive her milk.
I don't know. Wait, all right. What does it mean that it's a topless state?
Like it's legal to be
barefoot is legal.
Yeah.
You don't have to have the top of your shoes or the bottom
or the top of your car or a top on your body.
They'll let you do anything in Maine. They'll let you wear socks with sandals. They'll let you wear white after Labor Day. It's lawless land up there.
Yeah. In Maine, you're not allowed to get top.
No top allowed.
No top.
Only bottoms allowed. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to like harsh anyone's mellow, but like just the idea, and I also don't have tits, but the idea of like exposing them in the car where like, I don't know, in the summertime, isn't the sun going to come in? Do you really want like sunburns on your nipples?
Look, lots of guys drive topless.
I guess that's true. Like, that's true.
They're always driving in their Jeeps with their swelled muscles.
Sure, sure.
It's never the guys you want to drive topless.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Am I right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's never Zizek driving topless while eating two hot dogs at once. That would be amazing.
The dream. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's always ripped guys with backwards fitteds and cargo shorts driving.
No good. It's Kyle's and Chet's. It's never Slavoj's.
Yeah, what, did you just come from the gym? Why don't you go to the gas station and put chili on a hot dog like God intended?
Yeah. Spill it all over yourself. That's why you take your shirt off in the car, so you don't have to get chili on your nice A-top.
Yeah, why don't you spend 20 years reading Lesser Logic and never work out and eat a chili dog? So on January 19th, a new bill aimed at banning vulgar and obscene vanity plates was introduced by Senator William Diamond. Mm. Billy Diamond.
More like William sounds like Bronze.
Sounds like a fucking pseudonym.
Yeah.
Yeah. Billy Diamond. For Lou Diamond Phillips.
It's a perfect crime. I'll use my own name in my pseudonym. They'll never guess it's me.
Yeah, I want you to come here and stand and deliver me that tits out plate. and he's saying that he's not allowed, that you're not allowed to do that. And so there's all these plates that are now being taken away from people, such as asshole.
Oh, I didn't see these
crazy
are good.
Yeah. Bitch, fuck Mills. I don't know what that means. Butt fuck.
Later bitch. As,
yeah.
I like
fuck
later,
you too.
Later bitch.
IDG a fuck. That's pretty good. Cunt monkey. I think that's what this one says if you add vowels back into
it. Wow. That feels very early 2000s. That sounds like some like the newest video game webcomic.
Yeah,
cunt
yeah.
Monkey.
It's extremely hot. It's aggressive. It's easily the most hostile one on this entire thing.
It's like, whoa, chill out, dude. Also, monkeys haven't been funny since like 2003. Like, find a new joke.
It's sitting right next to a plate that literally just says, fuck you, and it's still coming off as more hostile.
I like this one that's just... I like this one that just says, it says fucky 3A, which I'm assuming means he loves the Third Amendment. He wants to fuck the you don't have to quarter soldiers law.
It's a great law. Yeah. No one's ever made me quarter a soldier. You don't have to. Everyone agrees.
Or maybe he wants to quarter soldiers and fuck them.
Yeah.
Fucky 3A.
I also just love the one in the top left that just says butt fuck, but there wasn't enough room for both T's, so it's the other kind of butt fuck.
But
I just love that because that's not even like angry. That's just a silly person. That's a completely chaotic, neutral human being who was like, my license plate's going to say butt fuck.
It's going to be butt fuck. Yeah.
So I like that one. Seems like they were like, they wanted to go to the DMV and they were like, okay, I'm going to write it all. And then they got a letter a week later and be like, that one's taken. And then he just kept submitting plates. He's like, well, I'm not going to give up. How about cocksuck? Nope, that's taken too.
Taken.
Shit.
Also too long.
How about
shit
only
ass.
Seven characters.
Taken. I got to love the one where it's, I am fucking late.
Like, that's very important. If you're like, if they speed past you, you're like, oh, I guess he's late to something. He knew he was going to be late years ago.
Nobody was beating this lady, okay? Because she didn't just have MILFmobile on the back window of her car in decals. She didn't just have a tits out license plate.
Yeah.
She has stickers that say, kids in this bitch, honk if one falls out. and also one that says, if you're going to ride my ass, at least pull my hair. So she was like leaning 1000% into the bit. And then she has the audacity to say, everyone loves my van, except for Karen's. Karens hate it. Lady, your name is Brittany.
Let's get these Brittany's under control.
Yeah,
okay?
She's also a white woman, and she's like, white bitches hate my car. It's like, I mean, maybe some of them do, but I don't know.
Yeah, just it doesn't make you not a Karen just because you have sloppy sex at 2 a.m. in a bathroom stall.
I do love the idea of this woman like getting into a conflict, a driver-to-driver conflict, and hopping out of her MILFmobile and being being like, the fuck did you just say to me, you fucking Karen? You want to speak to the manager of the MILFmobile?
She's also topless and armed.
I mean, shit, that's might be the most American thing I've ever had to think about in my life.
Yeah, this whole story just felt like a perfect summation of like the shit ass deal you get living in this country. Because the whole notion of how you have freedom is like, well, the government won't help you with anything. You don't get health care. You don't get a place to live. You barely get anything. The cops will kill you. But you can do and say whatever you want within reason. And then you say the word tits on your car and some nerd is like, oh, that's vulgar. No tits. You can't say the T word on your car.
We have freedom in this country.
Yeah, also, I mean, like, let's be real. Like, the vulgarity referenced in the license plate is tits, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, they already said Maine is a topless state. So it's like, I don't think there's a real clear through line of the morality of tit references happening in the Maine legislature. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Maybe, like, if she said breasts out, it'd be okay.
This is a strictly G-rated state. No references to anything that would get you a PG-13 rating.
Yeah, but you can't do breasts out, because if you cut out the vowels, it looks like bursts out, and then they think you're just a fan of the Alien movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, oh no, you can't support xenophiles.
Xenomorphs.
You can't support xenomorphs in this state.
Well, that would be better than what if instead of the MILFmobile it was the MorphMobile and it was all Ridley Scott's Alien themed.
Mm. Now that's interesting.
Yeah.
Bursts out license plate, very appropriate.
Or it was Animorphs themed. They got like she got like an Animorph license plate and then had like covers from the books
now
all
we're
over
talking.
It.
Now we're talking, yeah. Because although, to be fair, when we told the Harry Potter nerds to read a different book, we didn't mean Animorphs, okay?
I mean, I meant Animorphs.
Yeah, it's a better choice.
Books, but they're a little too close to hand. You know, maybe read something written for people over 16. Like,
sure. Yeah. If you're 35, like, you know, read something.
Yeah. Try to read a nonfiction book once in your life.
I'm not telling you to read the fucking Art of War, okay? But just like,
I mean, I'm just
go to the bookstore and get a recommendation.
When I was 14, I could read an Animorphs book in 45 minutes. So, like, read a few in like an hour and then pick up a different book that takes more than 45 minutes to read.
Read a couple of different books. It seems like you really need it.
sneaking into people's houses who still only read young adult books and like slapping Animorphs and Harry Potter covers over like fucking old Tom Clancy and like Stephen King books from the local library.
I love the read a different book and then it's just like the other book and it's John Grisham's The Rain Maker. It's like, no, not that either.
That one's worse somehow. It's got more ideology in it.
Something else. But speaking of sneaking into people's houses, Haiti.
Oh, yeah.
Things are happening in Haiti, and they're very confusing.
A ton of things.
And we're going to try and tell you about them. And we were going to talk about ostensibly a new revolutionary army, but we kind of have to lead with the president of Haiti was just shot today.
and killed. Assassinated.
Can't bury that one.
Yeah, you can't really bury that
the president.
Lead.
I mean the lead, yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody's sure who did it. And which news came out first? This new armed group? This is from like yesterday, right? And then he was killed this morning?
Yeah.
This is from last week.
It's like weeks ago that they... So this army, this group is basically a... there's a guy named, I think, Jimmy Sherazer. Jimmy Barbecue Sherazer, who
was
like...
We'll be calling him Jimmy Barbecue for the rest of this.
Jimmy Barbecue. He's like a former cop and a gang leader who last year, I think, like last summer... announced that he was like uniting 9 different gangs that usually fight in Haiti under one banner. And then last month made this very interesting statement where he basically said they're a new revolutionary group. They're going to like attack the bourgeoisie and the government, take back the money and the food and the power for the people, essentially.
Wow. I mean, that has potential to be extremely badass. This guy's an ex-cop and, you know, I don't know what the class character of the gang activity is like in Haiti, but this also has potential to be relatively bad, I guess, but like
for sure, yeah.
With everything that's going on, like I guess it's not my gamble to take, but I guess I'd take it. I don't know.
Yeah. So I mean what we have is So there, this is, this comes from Haiti Liberté, which right. from what I understand is the actually like most left-wing news source and the best journalistic outlet mm-hmm. from Haiti.
It definitely has that vibe of being like from a very left perspective.
So yeah. I am inclined to sort of take their word for it that they would have researched right. this. However, I want to be clear about what other people are saying. The New York Times has implied that up until literally hours ago, mm-hmm. Current president, was it Moise? I don't know how to say that.
Yeah,
Moise. Yeah, Moise.
They were saying that he was sort of a left liberal, nice guy, who was sort of organizing things out, and they are a death squad. So they're saying Jimmy Barbecue is a death squad, and this guy was a sort of nice, sort of emancipator, progressive guy. However,
which he wasn't. Like if you listen to any, like Madame Bookman has been posting about Jovenel Moise like the entire time he's been in office.
Yes,
and he's like definitely not quote unquote progressive. He's about as progressive as
Obama.
Nancy Pelosi,
yeah, Joe Biden, yeah.
or any Democrat. And this is the thing.
Yeah.
He also recognized Juan Guaido as the president of Venezuela.
Right.
Whack. He is just a generally a big right-wing lib. And as a matter of fact, he wasn't supposed to be in office.
I was going
to
say, he was like appointed or something in sort of like an interim.
His last term was February, and he's been like being like, I'm not stepping down. Mm-hmm. So from what I can tell, and don't be mad at me if I'm getting things wrong here, but we've been reading a little bit about this. From what we can tell at the moment, it seems like the people of Haiti were not very happy with this guy.
Mm-hmm. No, they hated him.
They hated him. And this was sort of, kind of something that was coming to him because he was trying to basically be a right-wing dictator.
I've seen like three major competing theories on who shot him. And it's like it could be this new guerrilla movement led by Jimmy Barbecue, which would be the coolest answer, but probably is the least likely by a good amount. It could be the U.S. just did this directly. And like Dan, a.k.a. Kel Boehner, was saying in the Discord earlier today, which I think is really good analysis. If we watch how the United States reacts to this, it'll be a pretty good indicator of whether or not we did it. Because if we immediately start doing peacekeeping in the region and we there are calls in the media to stabilize Haiti, then there's a good chance that this was all orchestrated by the United States. But if it's not... He brought up an interesting point that like this could just be the local bourgeoisie of Haiti trying to remove a very unpopular leader that they thought would lead to protests that could become a revolution or an uprising that would threaten their bourgeois status. So those two are definitely the leading, I think, competing theories for this now, at least to my mind.
Yeah.
So you think it's probably not Jimmy Barbecue?
Probably not. I mean, in this Haiti Liberté article, they even said that they're not going to focus on Moise. And this was about a week ago. And they said that they're focusing on a broad, program of, direct action and helping the actual community members of different areas of Haiti. And so, they could have said that to throw everyone off their trail while they went and did it, which would be a good idea, but I don't necessarily think that that's what's happening. I think when they say this, I kind of believe them, because if you were getting together like an armed force of, I guess it's like former, it's like consolidated gangs, right, that had been previously fighting each other, and you were like, we're going to build our community with these, I think if you had any good sense, you wouldn't just go kill the president in the first week.
Right.
You would build up a little bit more and get more organized. But I don't know.
I think you're right. And this CNN article I have here from minutes ago says, let's see. It says Moise's death takes place against a background of extreme violence in Haitian capital Port-au-Prince that has claimed many lives of many citizens and escalated notably in June. Rival groups have battled with one another or the police for the control of the streets, displacing tens of thousands of people and worsening the country's humanitarian crisis. Infamous ex-police officer Jimmy Barbecue last week vowed before local media to carry out a revolution in the city. So CNN is saying that this guy should be, you know, it almost seems like they're trying to pin it on him. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to be like, okay, there's a revolution going on or starting to build and it's getting serious. So let's try and pin it on this revolution that they killed the guy, killed the president.
And I think as early as like last year, when Jimmy Barbecue first like united all these gangs, he was like sanctioned by the US government as like, I don't even know what for what, like crimes against humanity or like violence or whatever. So it's like they already sort of had him in their sights.
It never caught on because when they tried to do the Coney 2012 thing and they said barbecue 2021, everybody thought it was just a COVID being over campaign.
Time to grill because COVID's over. Be safe.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could have very well been a, you know, because if he, this is sort of a thing that the CIA tends to do is when their assets don't become useful. If you can look at Gaddafi, you can look at Saddam, with when their assets become no longer useful, they'll just kill them. Mm-hmm. And if it's, if it's, you know, it's really easy to kill them because they're already reporting to you and you already have handlers there and quote unquote diplomats in the country. So you can just walk up to the guy and be like, hey, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. So that's very possible. And I mean, obviously it would be cool if the revolution was already happening and this was like their plan and they're about to take over. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right, John, that it's looking like it's probably something a little more devious and a little more complicated. And this could be good for them in the long term. It could be a miscalculation on the imperialist side.
Yeah, especially if it was an action undertaken by the local bourgeoisie. Mm-hmm. If it was done by the intelligence community from the United States, they're going to be able probably to corral whatever fallout from this into whatever box is convenient for them. It's unfortunate to say. But if it's the local bourgeoisie of Haiti, depending on how much support they have from the American intelligence community, they might not be able to do it. And it might be a grave miscalculation on their part.
Yes. And that would be a great situation because then you have a bunch of like, you know, gangsters and mafia bosses who are like, this guy sucks. I don't want Americans in our like fingers in all of our pies. So we're going to take him out and, you know, then just like control it like the mob bosses we are, whatever. And then there's already a like people's revolution going on that you weren't really considering. Mm-hmm. That would be good. But you know, we just have no idea at this point. But we will continue to keep our eyes on Haiti as we've been doing since this show has been in existence.
That's right.
Cause it's a very important little point. It's connected to the Dominican Republic. We have a lot of, interests there.
Well, and, it's right across the strait from Cuba as well.
Yep.
So they have a socialist country right there. I'm sure that the socialists in Haiti feel somewhat emboldened by having socialist, anti-imperialist neighbors. And, you know, I don't know what the whole complex situation there is, but like for a place that only has a few more million people in it than New York City, it has incredibly complicated politics.
Yes. But, you know, it's, you know, I don't know if we've actually talked about, I know we have talked about it, but I don't know if we talked about it on the regular episodes. But what's going on in Peru, is also, very worrisome for the American, establishment.
I haven't even checked up on Castillo in a second. How's that going?
I believe they're still trying to be like, he's not exactly the president yet. He's definitely won. I mean, they're trying to do a coup, but I believe they've called it. I'm not sure.
Right, right. Yeah, it's the most recent article I found from vegannews.co is that apparently the two candidates, Castillo and Fujimori, have both set up camp. They've literally set up camp in Lima, in like downtown, in different parts of downtown Lima, to quote unquote defend their votes. And it looks like they're standing up on stages with like campaign style ads and stuff standing behind them and speaking on microphones and stuff. So this is a very, this is not a democratic process I've ever seen before.
Right.
Where you like set up in the middle of town and defend your election results, which is like, that's, I don't even know what to make of this. I'm like incredibly perplexed.
Yeah. It's very weird.
There's some recent articles where it like Reuters calls him the like expected president in waiting. So it seems like some of the mainstream news are basically like, look, he clearly won, so he's going to be the president. And so just from the outside, it seems like it'll probably end up like Trump's attempt to be like, the election was stolen, where it's like, enough people are going to be like, no, it wasn't, like, stop wasting our time.
Yeah.
Like,
this is too important for us to just go along with your bullshit this time. Yeah. This is like the big thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is funny because like the election in the United States did not matter, but the election in Peru matters a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there was no Marxist teacher running for president in America.
Well, there probably was, but we didn't get to hear from him because he got like nine votes.
Yeah, exactly. Reuters is basically saying that it's gonna have like, they're basically saying this is what his party's gonna be like, and he's already making deals with. Reuters has an article here that's saying like, he's saying mining firms are going to have to accept prudent tax changes. And he's like granting a bunch of like Chinese, mining companies, agreements.
Okay. Interesting.
So he's like doing stuff as it seems like as president already, but, you know, places like Wikipedia and the BBC are basically being like presumed or like he's a candidate and like, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, a good way to establish and consolidate your power, which is what he should be doing in this situation, is to just start fucking governing, or in cases of like Maduro, to continue governing even after a bunch of countries are like, Juan Guaido is the president now. Right. Because it works. Like if they can't stop you from doing executive actions, then you're the president, right? Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how power works. And that's the thing. Exactly. I think a lot of people get like forget that it's like, there's no like machine or like God controlled like seal. That's like, okay, now you're officially the president. Mm-hmm. It's just like,
you peeled the seal off the presidential yogurt. Now you can dip your spoon in and start eating the yogurt of power. No. You just start doing it.
People get like gamer brain about this. They're like, who's wearing the status tag?
Huh? Yeah.
It's not going to let me follow you unless you're wearing the president status tag. Like, you know,
I haven't hit the event flag yet that triggers me being president. Yeah. I don't know where I have to go. I think I forgot a key or something. I got to go back to the depths, or I don't know where I have to go.
Yeah, your name hasn't changed to gold, so I don't know if you're...
That's one guy does the whole internal monologue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's like, where's my gold name? But yeah, it doesn't work like that. It's just like...
One guy though in the Venezuela Discord, just like, mod, please. Admin status, please. Mm-hmm.
There's clearly a glitch here. I'm not the president, but I did all the steps of the mission. Can I get one of the people who made this game in here? This is fucked up.
Yeah, I'm experiencing a really game-breaking bug. I can't get an achievement for my victory.
Getting all like down, like thumbs down on Steam, and it's like, dude, you're just playing the game wrong. That's not how it works.
Dude, you lost. Just play again. But yeah, I mean, he's the president. And so I think it's, what I was trying to say is that like Peru and Venezuela and like, there's a lot of weird stuff that we haven't researched enough going on in Colombia. Like there's kind of a pink tide happening again in Latin America, and and the US is not really in a position to do much about it. Like we don't have the political will to like the consciousness of people in general about CIA for throwing Latin American leftist leaders is so high, mm-hmm. and probably higher than it's ever been. And mm-hmm. whenever they try to do anything, I don't think it's just in our little bubble. I think people understand. Like, my mom was like, I think they were trying to take over Venezuela. Like, mm-hmm. they hear about it, you know?
yeah.
And they're like, maybe that guy isn't a dictator. And I think that what people forget about even the U.S. being a fascist country, being a, you know, empire, being a the global superpower and hegemon, like, you still have to have the political will, or at least consent, mm-hmm. Or else you're going to fuck up a lot of stuff in your own country.
Right. Like, right. I mean, like, ideally you just want like enthusiastic consent, but they also will just take ignorance. You know, that's like been the strategy right. of the U.S. for
right,
a while.
Exactly.
It's keeping most of the population completely like uninformed about what's happening in those countries. Well, not even knowing about
true, it. That's true. Cause like 150 years ago or whatever, they could just print in the newspapers, like, we're going to take more land from Mexico. And all the Americans would be like, hell yeah, fuck Mexico.
Yeah,
manifest destiny. Then,
yeah. I'm going to move there and get free land.
Yeah. I mean, you can still like do CIA operations and like have black sites and like, you know, military bases that shouldn't be there, but you can't just be like, we're going to change the election outcome in Peru. People will be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Why you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and that's a little bit like the liberal journalists not being super comfortable with doing it, at least,
right.
At least in, places like Latin America, where it's closer to home and you know more Latin America, you know what I mean? You know more people of yeah. that ethnicity who live here. But like in Asian countries and, you know, Middle Eastern countries, we can do whatever we want over there because mm-hmm. there's like
yeah,
a lot.
That's true. Yeah.
It's like, I feel like people don't understand that in the 50s and 60s when this was happening, like the Dulles brothers literally owned companies that were in Guatemala and stuff. And so they,
right.
they had a lot of like, not only political interests and empire and ideological interests, but literal monetary investments in those countries, allowing them to do whatever they want. But like, now it's sort of this weird, like, I guess Elon would benefit from, you know, the lithium, but fuck Elon. His company's going to fall apart anyway. So it's like, right. there's not a lot of reason to do those things. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're seeing is a sort of empty mech, sort of just mm-hmm. like stomping around and being like, oh shit. That guy's taking over. He's a communist. And people are like, whatever. No one cares. And then we try, yeah. but we get, you know what I mean?
Yeah. The giant like, United Fruit Company mech is just like, citizen, stop. I must continue to make banana profits. And everyone's like, shut up. And then pushes it over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like further to your point too, about like Americans being a little bit better informed, at least than they used to be. There's not a whole lot of areas where the intelligence community or the military or the government wants to meddle that the citizens don't know about anymore. Like, remember when we went to war in the Middle East in like 2003 or whatever, and everybody yeah. was like, point to Iraq on a map. You can't, you're a moron. And it's like, yeah, a lot of Americans didn't know where Iraq was. They didn't know where Syria was. They don't know what Iran really even is. And like, how many places like that are left in the world anymore? It's like a bunch right. of Central African nations we probably can't name, and like West Asia. Like if I told most Americans to point to Tajikistan, they probably couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But like no a way. Lot of other places they know about now, because it's just, we've been fucking with them in a very connected and information driven society for a long time at this point.
Right. And what happens is you get a lot of people sort of just like having some narrative, and there's like not enough because they don't care really. And they expect you to be ignorant. Right. Like the narrative isn't clear enough for it to really be anything but like encouraging, if you have any reason to even learn about it, to learn the actual truth about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's just like, it's bad management of empire, right? Because no one's really at the wheel.
Oh, well, speaking of bad management of empire, we have a story that was going around in some screen caps on Twitter earlier today, because it's just kind of unbelievable. This is an AP News blurb, and it says, Bagram, Afghanistan. The U.S. left Afghanistan's Bagram airfield after nearly 20 years by shutting off the electricity and slipping away in the night without notifying the base's new Afghan commander,
what?
Who discovered the Americans' departure more than 2 hours after they left, Afghan military officials said. And this comes on the heels of a bunch of other NATO and, like, you know, forces allied with the United States that have been gradually withdrawing from Afghanistan. But the Afghan forces expected the United States to be there for at least like another couple of weeks, I believe,
okay,
is kind of the implication here. And they were just like, bye, see ya. And then when the guy actually, oh, because there was a wave of looters, right?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they left, there was a wave of looters, and the Afghan forces were like, uh-oh, is this the Taliban, right? Because a bunch of the prisoners that were held at that base, and it hasn't been specified what's been done with the prisoners, but a bunch of the prisoners at that base were alleged Taliban members, right? So okay, the Afghan forces are worried about these looters who they think might be Taliban. He said the U.S. called from the Kabul airport and said, we are here at the airport in Kabul. Which I don't understand how that's relevant to the looters or what. I guess the U.S. just wanted to be like, oh yeah, we left. We're 2 hours away in Kabul at the airport.
Yeah,
this sounds like
calling someone and being like, hey, you said you're going to take the trash out and like throw away the dirty food in the kitchen and it's all still there. And it's like, oh, I'm 2 hours away at the bar watching basketball. I'm actually not there, so I can't do that.
Yeah, this is an insane sentence. I really can't make anything of it. I just want to read it to be clear once again. At first, we thought maybe they were Taliban, said Abdul Rauf, a soldier of 10 years. He said the U.S. called from the Kabul airport and said, we are here at the airport in Kabul. What does that mean?
I don't know, but it is one of the funniest things I've ever read. Just like some military general who's been working at the same fucking base in Bagram, Afghanistan for 20 years, who's like, well, I guess this is the end of a long tenure at this base. Better drive 2 hours to the airport and call the Afghan officials back at the base and tell them, I am at the airport.
Don't call again.
I'm picturing like a movie scene where it's like there's like a little title card that says airport in Kabul, and then a guy going up to a payphone and is like, oh, hello, we're at the airport in Kabul.
Yeah, it's like that scene in Twilight when she's like, I moved to Forks, and then you see the sign for Forks.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this is very strange because there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Joe Biden finally getting out of Iran, or excuse me, out of Afghanistan, out of Iraq. Mostly, I assume, because we're trying to go to war with Iran and we are basically in Syria and Libya.
We got to free up some troops and troop carriers so we can revive the Falklands War. Okay,
oh,
but
no,
this time it's three ways: England, Argentina, and the United States. Fight.
This time we can't lose.
Let's see what happens.
To catch the new Falklands War reality TV show, tune in to Viceland. Falklands 2.0.
Electric boogaloo.
Also, Action Bronson is there for some reason, smoking weed,
just firing an artillery gun like it. That's fucking delicious.
Oh man, you could cook a hot dog in this thing.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess this is sort of the I mean, how else would you expect America to deal with anything in Afghanistan?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
just
what I mean,
ghosting an,
like,
entire country.
Are they gonna leave it the better? This is the campground rule for the fucking United States empire. Mm-hmm. That they leave than they found it.
No, I'll tell you what the motivation for this is. It's they want to deliberately fuck this up. And so then they get, like, the AP article already is hyping up, like, the Taliban has been taking more cities knowing that forces are leaving.
Yeah.
Like, in the wake of forces leaving, we need to be more worried about the Taliban. They literally want to deliberately mismanage their exit so they can say, oh shit, we should never have exited, and back in and invade all over again. Like,
yeah,
it's so simple.
It's the exact same logic as all the, like, news this past year that it's like, oh, crime rates are rising, I guess we shouldn't have defunded the police. And all the cops are like, look, we'll stop the crime rate if you give us back our money that we never actually even lost, but fund us even more.
Exactly.
And no more crime. What do you think?
Exactly.
What do you think?
It's exactly the same thing. The Democrats only have one playbook, and it's like, pretend to do something, say, oh, that didn't work, it made everything worse, even though you didn't do anything, and
you
then
haven't
go
done
back
anything
to doing the worst thing that you were doing before even harder. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's very disgusting, and they should all be something that would have to be edited out if I said.
Yeah.
But
it's crazy. Exactly. They like left all their stuff too. I wonder if like random people in Afghanistan are just going to be like, well, I'm getting a free Humvee now.
Absolutely. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I would.
Yeah.
I hope they all enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they all use it to fight against the occupation.
Yeah, Blackwater, which is now moving in, probably.
Like the most charismatic one of the looters is just handing out like combat vehicles. Like, you get a Hilux, you get a Toyota Hilux, you get the Hilux with the machine gun, you get a Hilux with anti-aircraft guns. Like,
there's a fun picture of an Afghan soldier who I guess is one of the like traitors who is like working with the military, but he's holding a guitar like on a mattress with no bedding on it. And he's just like, what's up?
I guess I'm chilling here.
All sitting on office chairs in the middle of like an airstrip holding guns.
Just dudes rocking, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, if a bunch of like rednecks did it, every MAGA guy would be like, that's fucking badass.
Hell yeah,
bro.
Buddy.
Mm-hmm. This is what we should have done at the Capitol. Let's have everyone leave and then we could just play guitar.
All right. Well, and now let's move to America in my city, in New York City, where Eric Adams is the president, the mayor, I should say.
That's going to be a fucking fun time. God, the city.
Yeah,
sucks.
I hope that Eric Adams dies.
In an unrelated accident we're in no way responsible
for. It's one of those things. It's like we definitely said like every mayor person is bad. Like all of them were really bad.
Yeah, but it was a real like array of shit sandwiches to choose from.
But wow, did we get the worst one except for Andrew Yang.
I think he probably won because people thought they were voting for Eric Andre. Let's be real.
I mean, that's why I voted for him.
Yeah. I wrote in Eric Andre second, but first I was like, if this is actually Eric Andre, I should really vote for him where he's officially on the ballot, and then I'll write him in just
that's
in case.
Right.
Yeah. No, but he... what I really worry about with him is just like how intensely like more police presence we're going to feel living here.
And like at least Yang is like a clown and a dipshit. Like I almost feel like he would have bungled being mayor so much that he would have been like a decent option. And like,
well, that's what's great about de Blasio is that he was such a, you know, kind of like a moron who had a sort of liberal leanings in his heart that he was sort of like, I don't like the NYPD. I think we should, you know, wrangle them in. And they were like, hey, well, how about we kill your fucking daughter?
Yeah, what
you
if
black
we kill
bitch?
Your daughter?
And
it was like, piece of shit. Yeah.
And then he was like,
sorry, fellas, take it back. My bad.
Because it's a city run by a gang.
A gang that just got a brand new video game truck.
There you go.
Ooh, wait, do they have PS5 on this? Can I play Demon Souls? Because I'll like.
Do you have games on your truck?
Yeah. Mr. Police Officer, sir, do you have games on your phone? I'm about to blow your mind. I got a truck with Captain America and the Hulk on it, and inside I have a GameCube and Billy Hatcher.
Who's Billy Hatcher?
Billy Hatcher was a game where you rolled a bunch of eggs around and hatched them into collectible monsters.
Oh yeah,
for the GameCube, and it fucking ruled. But it never got the credit it deserved.
Oh,
it sounds pretty fun.
So Vice has an article in their gaming little headline called Why Cops Are Driving Around a Game Truck Around New York City. The NYPD's new campaign seeks to connect with our communities by getting kids to play video games with cops.
Oh, man. It used to be back in my day, if you wanted to play video games with a cop, you went to Best Buy, you walked over to the electronics section, you pretended you had a problem with the console and got the manager over, and then you whipped his ass in Guitar Hero.
Is that what you did? Wait, what?
Number one pastime. I live, you know, it's really funny. I live like a mile and a half from the Best Buy I used to go to all the time as a kid, and I'm tempted to go in there and beat the manager at Guitar Hero just for old time's sake.
And what if they still have the same kiosk up?
They've got it. I went to the Taco Bell and they still had the coin catching game, and I won a free burrito. So I imagine nothing else in this town has changed either.
Wow, that sounds weird.
Yeah, weird but fun. Yeah.
Sounds extremely dark somehow. Truck is set up with Switches, PS5s. They've got the PS5s.
That's who has the PS5s. The cops are fucking taking them all.
Look, motherfucker, it is. If I see you on my block, it is on. I'm taking your PS5.
I need that PS5.
Yeah.
I will put money on the PS5.
I mean, this. You see this game truck? Yeah, it's your moral duty to attempt to hijack it and drive it to my house.
You gotta go in there and be like, look, double or nothing. If I beat you at Rocket League, I get this entire truck.
Yeah.
And your gun.
Yeah.
Actually, just really all your guns.
Yeah, I need the guns.
And
yeah.
If you win, I don't know, like arrest me or whatever, you're gonna anyway. So
Yeah. I'll pee on the street and you can arrest me for public exposure or whatever. Yeah. Whatever dumb shit you guys like to do.
Yeah.
And they say, this right here is going to be the game changer this summer. We're coming out to your block. We're coming out to your neighborhood. We're like, you weren't already here. This is going to be a great way to connect with the communities, our young people, our families. Jeffrey Madry, the chief of community affairs of the division, says in the video, make sure our young people have a safe summer.
That's just saying we have a PR problem. We, the NYPD, viewed as not trustworthy. And our idea is to tempt kids to get on a truck with no windows to play video games, supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're good to do an activity that often pisses people off with notably thin-skinned, often pissed off bullies. Nothing bad could ever happen.
Well, and it's like, why don't the police just drive around in a truck that says fucking free candy on the side? Like, why not just cut out all the extra steps and be like, we have Tootsie Rolls?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny if you like take the like logic, like if somehow you don't know anything and are a dullard and are like, well, the police are good and they work to fight crime. Like if I thought that and then I saw this truck, I'd be like, why are you spending money you could be using to fight crime, buying video games and driving around playing them with people? Like, are you the crime solvers?
What is the point?
Or do you just like sit around with your thumbs up your ass thinking of dumb bullshit to spend money on?
Exactly.
Just like TikToking, like bringing my Grand Theft Auto game disc to the police game truck, gonna shoot a lot of cops in front of the NYPD.
Yeah. How do you like this, motherfuckers?
Yeah.
How do you feel about
five stars? Yeah, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I got cheat codes on, assholes.
Must be what it feels like to be you guys. Just cheat, kill whoever you want, no consequences. Yeah. Interesting.
Eliza Orlins, a public defender in New York City, retweeted this truck and says, piece of advice from your friendly public defender, do not get in this truck ever. And why would you? Yeah. Why would you want to hang out with cops? The whole point is to ruin your day and your life and make money off of you. That's the point of cops.
I mean, like, This is just a cover to arrest children, right? Like, it starts with the NYPD game truck and it ends with like all cruisers have a PS5 new inbox conspicuously visible in the seats that they use to arrest people in the back of their cars. And they're like, come on, don't you want to get in the cruiser? I've got a PS5.
Yeah, I bet the cops are going to be like, doing that dumb cop humor where they like do a fake power tactic on you and then it's like, no, I'm just kidding. Like they're like, okay, come into the truck. I gotta pat you down first. Turn around, put your hands on the thing. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you.
Yeah. Cops do that often. They like think that it's like funny and they're like, oh, I disarmed that person. Now they aren't horrified. I'm going to use violence against them with impunity. And it's no, everyone still thinks that. They just try to act calm around you because they know you're like a rabid animal who might kill them.
Cops just pointing their guns at people's head and be like, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm just playing.
Yeah, it's like when one of your friends walked up and they're like, I'm going to hit you in the mouth. And you're like, what? No, don't do that. And they're like, I'm just joking. God, we have a good time around here, don't we?
Yeah, we have
a
fun time.
You didn't tell a joke, you threatened violence.
Yeah.
You fucking freak. What is wrong with your brain?
Jesus Christ.
All right, and one more thing we wanted to talk about.
Oh yeah.
And on a high note,
Taiwanese I don't know what this happened. The Taiwan News, a place that exists, toy advertises kid friendly in Taiwan, sings Polish rap about cocaine.
It's a little cactus. Is this what it is? Like a singing cactus?
It looks to be a singing cactus.
So this is a singing cactus that you can buy for your child on online retailers popular in Taiwan, such as Carrefour, Shopee, and Rakuten. And parents had been buying it for their kids, you know, and these kids, what are they? They speak in Taiwan. Is it Mandarin or Cantonese? I don't remember, don't speak Polish. So the kids have been happily listening to this singing cactus, which plays a rap, which is in Polish, which some of you who are more meme savvy might recognize as the rap that plays over the very blurry dancing cow MP4.
Okay.
And it's got like a kind of a Gorilla Z vibe to it. It's a pretty good song, actually. I listened to it a few times today. And, but it's like kind of by like, it's a very depressing song by like the Polish equivalent of like a SoundCloud rapper, YouTube rapper. And it's about doing a lot of cocaine and thinking about killing yourself. And Polish mothers living in Taiwan. One of them bought this for her kid, and then upon hearing the rap, was like, "This is not appropriate for children."
It's just about trying to kill yourself and doing coke. So the song is called
doing 5 grams of cocaine. That's another key component of the song.
The song is called
"That's a Ton."
Where is the white eel? And he says, "The only thing in my head is 5 grams of cocaine. Fly away alone to the edge of oblivion. I have thoughts in my head. When will all this end? Whenever I'm not alone, because a white eel will fly in."
I think my favorite part of this is like, I mean, it's already funny that it's like explicit lyrics, but like the opening of the article where it's just like, parents who are thinking about buying this electric furry cactus that raps in Polish might want to think twice. And it's like, why is any parent in Taipei buying a rapping Polish cactus for their children if they don't speak Polish?
Yeah,
why would you want that?
Thing
toy?
I don't know. I would buy it. Like, there's got to be some irony poisoned parents in Taipei, right? Like, okay, if I had a kid and you were like, here's a singing, dancing cactus that sings the leak spin song, mm-hmm. I would be like, oh, okay, I'll buy that. Like, I don't speak fucking Finnish or Swedish or whatever language that fucking shit is actually in, but I would buy it in a heartbeat. Now, luckily, the leak spin song is a gibberish song, so it doesn't even mean anything in the language it's in. It's literally just vocables.
It's Finnish,
whereas
right?
I think it's Finnish. Whereas this cactus is rapping about doing 5 grams of cocaine, which honestly, I would still buy because imagining that my English speaking or my kid in Taipei is probably never going to learn Polish, I'd think it's funny. Mm-hmm. You
know? That is true. Yeah, it's just the kind of thing that like gives your kid a funny story later. Like they have a toy and it's like, what's that? It's like, oh, it's just my rapping cactus toy that I had when I was a kid. My mom got it on the internet.
That's my Polish cocaine rapper cactus.
I also want to be clear. It's adorable and hilarious.
He's really cute, and I got a lot.
It is funny looking and like swings around and dances and he has big googly eyes and he sings about doing cocaine. So I definitely will buy one. If I can't, I don't think so.
Oh, you can't buy it over in the States.
I found a link on Amazon, but it's the Polish Amazon. It says it doesn't deliver to me.
Huh. We should try Wish.
What'd you say?
Wish, maybe?
It's the Polish Amazon. Why isn't it the Taiwanese Amazon? Why would people who know what he's saying want to sell that to you?
That's a good point. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a tougher sell in Poland, oddly enough.
I think, maybe in Poland, like, you're a SoundCloud rapper and you're like, I need the cocaine cactus wall of my studio right between my rocket KRKs.
That's why I want it.
I would love a Blade cactus, too, if they made one of those. Even like a little Uzi Vert cactus, I'd take them.
Hundreds going in, hundreds going on.
Like, jazz, Bial. And then you're just like, hell yeah. I got him up on the wall next to my big mouth Billy Bass.
Yeah, yeah. Or they should make a cactus that sings whatever the Wide Putin song is. I love that song.
Oh, the Wide Putin song is Song for Janine. It has like such a sentimental title.
Oh, that's what it's
like
called?
A
that's
great
hilarious.
Tune. Yeah, it's called Song for Janine. It's awesome. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much for listening to BB Bledis. This has been a fun episode. If you'd like to hear more of our show, you can go to patreon.com/BB Bledis. Mm-hmm. I haven't said that in a while. That's it, right? Beep, beep,
beep. Yeah. It's the one place we can just get our name without any tricks or weirdness or whatever.
Yeah, it's a good time. You'll get Discord things and a bonus episode every week. You can listen to my other show, Generation Loss. You can listen to John's other show, Work Stoppage. Follow us on Twitter @WeedPod. What were you going to say? Something?
Follow us on Gab, Parler, and Getter at The Real Beep Beep Lettuce Pod Vivo official underscore official.
Yeah.
I did actually manage to make a Getter. I'm Baron underscore Trump, but it's kind of dead on there. No one really does much.
I'm on Getter as well.
Yeah, I figure it died after like a day, right?
Yeah, I'm on Getter as well as just Bryn, but at Bryn. Mm-hmm. There's no Menchies. On Getter,
there's no notifications. I don't understand how they could make a site like this
like,
without
no
notifications.
No one can go into your like if someone replies to you, you just have to look at that post.
It's like unusable. Yeah,
yeah. It's basically an unusable website.
Somehow worse than worse in functionality than modern social media, and also lacking the charm of a forum. Mm-hmm. That's the worst possible
terrible
combination.
Because there's no like threads. It's just like your posts. So it functions like a forum, except you would have to scroll through every thread and see if anybody replied to your post. It's so stupid. So don't follow it. Don't ever look at that. But it is funny. Anyway, other shows. Oh, yeah. Follow us on Twitter at WeedPod. And mids posting. We'll see you in mids posting.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Goodbye.
Beep on.
Play us out, Dancing Cactus.
Koksu 5 gram odlecieć sam w krainę zapomnienia. W głowie myśli mam, kiedy skończy się ten stan, gdy już nie będę sam, bo wiedzie biały węgiel.
Tylko jedno w głowie mam, koksu 5 gram odlecieć sam w krainę zapomnienia. W głowie myśli mam, kiedy skończy się ten stan, gdy już nie będę sam, bo wjedzie biały węgorz. Ja pierdolę, ale mam zjazd, nie chwytam gwiazd jak kłoda leżę. Nie wierzę, co się dzieje, jak kura z głodu pieje, jak wilkołak do księżyca, w głowie dziury jak ulica przed twoją chatą. Rozpuszczam się jak baton, który leży na blacie. Zejście jest jak nie wciągacie, bracie, kurwa, ryj mi krzywi. W głowie burdel jak w TV, mnie nie dziwi taki stan. Brak towaru w myślach ćpam, radę dam albo nie dam. Wszystko kurwa z chaty sprzedam, w sumie mam już przejebane. Wszystko jednak jest sprzedane, ja pierdolę. Same długi, kinol jak u tabalugi. Dzień drugi, bez walenia, gdzie jest wąż, biała chemia, jebane zejście, tak wykańcza, jakby w chuja diabła cię szarańczo.
Tylko jedno w głowie mam, koksu 5 gram, odlecieć sam w krainę zapomnienia. W głowie myśli mam, kiedy skończy się ten stan, gdy już nie będę sam, bo wjedzie biały węgorz.
Chemia party, chcę na narty, do dealera, a nie w Alpy. Orzesz kurwa, chyba fiknę, jak w Nohala, nic nie psiknę. Tak bardzo chcę dotykać gwiazd, ale nic z tego, bo mam zjazd. Totalne kurwa, mega zejście, a marzy mi się smoka wejście. Masz hajsy? Ci też zalegam? No to chuj, dziś już nie biegam. Chcę mieć kopa, jak pantera. W krechę nie ma u dealera. Już nie, na pewno nie. Chyba śmierć rozkłada mnie. Nikt nie przepchnę, mam deszcze. Kurwa mać, ile jeszcze będzie trwał ten stan. Śnił mi się koksu van i hery gram, tak dla smaku. Chcę się wozić w Cadillacu. Myślami po znajomych biegam, lecz każdemu coś zalegam. Odpada opcja pożyczki, bo przycinam jak nożyczki.
Tylko jedno w głowie mam, koksu 5 gram, odlecieć sam w krainę zapomnienia. W głowie myśli mam, kiedy skończy się ten stan, gdy już nie będę sam, bo wjedzie biały węgorz.
Syf jak na Discovery, chcę wystrzelić jak z Givery. Chcę hery i inne bajery, w nosie pustka, słychać szmery. Macie numer do Gargamela? Może u niego w kotle jest hera, wiem. Głupoty pierdolę, ale nie mam nic na stole. A w kieszeni jebana pustka, przydałaby się w totka szóstka, albo chociaż jakaś czwórka, i bym leciał jak jaskółka. Jak pszczółka Maja, do ucha śpiewałaby mi Kaja. To są jaja, no nie wierzę. Wygięty leżę jak zdechłe zwierzę. Gorączka w kurwę się nasila, bo haratany jak dupa fakira. Jak zdzira wymiętolony, leżę kurwa rozpalony. Hej Johnny, chciałbym posypać i na łące jak królik brykać, ale cały czas ten zjazd usycham jak wyrwany kwas.
Tylko jedno w głowie mam, koksu 5 gram, odlecieć sam w
krainę zapomnienia. W głowie myśli mam, kiedy skończy się ten stan, gdy już nie będę sam, bo wjedzie biały węgorz.